Welcome to the Steelers Realm Podcast. Now, here are the boys of Steelers Realm, New Jersey Dev, JT, and the famous TA.
Hey, Steeler fans, welcome to another edition of Steelers Realm Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, JT, along with my man out in the heart of Browns country, TA. TA, how was your weekend, man? Happy 4th of July.
Hey, happy 4th of July to you as well, JT.
Thanks, man.
4th of July was good. A little fireworks, a little barbecue, a little drinking. All's good.
Indeed. Dev, how was your fourth?
It was about as eventful that you can make it with the COVID going on. I had a nice salad bowl of potato salad, macaroni salad, pasta salad, even threw in a little bit of fruit salad there. So
nice.
It was good. I was pissed, however, though, because being that I play a lot of Madden and I'm so good at it, I got invited to the closed beta, which, is for Madden 21. Lamar Jackson's on the cover. So basically, some of the, I wouldn't say top players in the game, but some of the more frequent players got invited, and I was one of them. And unfortunately, on Wednesday night, some 12-year-old kid beat me and started messaging me, so I started talking shit back, and I got banned through the whole weekend, so I was unable to play the new Madden 21 beta. My feedback.
It's only New Jersey Dev style can be on the 4th of July. So, sounded pretty good. Ours is kind of low key, man. Didn't do a whole lot. We did have a cookout, steaks on the grill, and your typical all American redneck food for the 4th of July. Little fireworks celebration out here in the outskirts of town. But had a good time. Took my son to the batting range too. We had some batting cages down by the driving range, and had a good time there Saturday. But it was so freaking hot, man. So we kind of chilled for the most part. Had a good weekend though. It was nice. Had an extra day off, so I made it nice. I think I got caught up on some sleep from before. So anyhow, it's good to be back with you guys, man. It's time to dip into the realm. We get some bad news today.
You just go lay your hand on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand.
Lost a member of Steeler Nation, RIP Charlie Daniels.
Rest in peace. I can't really talk too much about Charlie. I just, know that the devil went down to Georgia Song. I knew he was a Steeler fan. That's about it for me, though.
Yeah, Charlie was a great Americana. Granted, he might have been a little hillbillish, but he's definitely in touch with his roots. The whole Pittsburgh Steeler thing came in the 70s era when America wasn't very well, facing Watergate scandal, Vietnam. And he come up with a song in America, and he felt the strength of the people were your typical blue-collar, on the farms, in the factories, steel mill working, sons of guns. And I'm sure probably what gave him a stroke was everything that's going on in today's society, and when you look back on that song and what it meant, I think a few people could probably pay a little bit more than homage to him and maybe open up their eyes and see what's really going on in the world today. But rest in peace, Charlie.
Yeah, good point, TA. Well, as we jump into the realm here, also, what affects the Steelers, let's touch on first. We do have a little bit of Steelers news and some other NFL news before we get to our Hall of Fame feature coming on. And we're going to devote a good part of the podcast tonight to our Hall of Famers. Since we have four, we're going to recognize. And these guys are certainly four names that you will recognize. Even the casual Steeler fan will recognize. So all that coming up too. Before we get into that, though, some preseason news, Dev. I don't know if you'd take it away on what players want to do regarding the preseason.
Yeah, so early in the week they, you know, shrunk the schedule to 2 games from 4. I mean, the Steelers are supposed to play 5, but the 2 games. But the NFL Players Association recently voted, and they want to basically eliminate the preseason in its entirety, which, I mean, would be a win for them. They've wanted to eliminate the preseason now for years, or shorten it, et cetera. And, I mean, at this point, from an owner's perspective, I don't see why there's a reason to fight for those 2 games other than, like, for team personnel, because, in my opinion, the whole point of those preseason games was just an extra moneymaker. Nobody's going to go to them. But from the coach's perspective, you know, even two games is still going to allow some of those guys who might be fringe players on the brink of not making the roster, making the roster, some of those younger guys, it's going to allow them to get some more time on the field and some more tape. So, but I don't see them playing any preseason games this year. And I honestly see the start of the season being pushed back now. You know, everybody's starting to freak out a little bit again, and we even noticed it here. You know, a lot of the opening up is being scaled back, and it's not because of our own numbers in the state. They're still on a downward trend, but it's because of what's going on in Florida and Texas and Arizona and California too, for that matter. So, I mean, I don't really see anybody too disappointed about, fan wise, there not being any preseason games.
Right, fan wise,
we're going to have a watered down season. That's all it means, man. Let's face it. You're not going to get these guys ready to play in week one. If anybody, a Steelers fan, knows week 1, 2, and 3, we're hard-pressed to get out of the gate in any kind of form or fashion. This just sets us back another 2 weeks. And with that being said, how do you cut it down to 55-man roster? Or is it all the rumors that we hear they're going to go ahead and roll with 90 and we're going to have a team A and a team B just in case somebody does come down with COVID? You can throw the replacements in there for week 2 and 3 and give it that 14-day hiatus. This is getting really out of hand and crazy. And now we're even talking about throwing masks on these guys. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see them running around with little survivor buffs underneath their helmets just to try to protect themselves. But one of these teams get COVID, what are you going to do? You going to forfeit on Sunday because you now got to go ahead and rest your team for 14 days? You know, if this is the way we're going to go ahead and approach it, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt bad because they're not going to be game shape. This is football in shorts. There ain't no reason to start this if everybody's playing scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Philip Rivers actually raised a good point on that NFLPA call on Friday. He said, you know, what if a player tests positive for COVID-19 during Super Bowl week, but it's asymptomatic? You know, would he have no choice but to sit? And I guess the answer is yes, but if he later has 2 negative tests 24 hours apart, he could be cleared. So I don't, it's just, they've never, there's no way to prepare for shit like this.
No, you know, and my take on that, sorry to cut you short there, Dev. My take on that is basically the preseason games were twofold. For the owners, obviously the money, because all season ticket holders have to get buy the preseason games too, and the parking and everything else that goes along with it. So there was certainly a money element to it regarding the owners. But on the player side of it, I agree with you both. It's going to set us back because it always seemed, even though we had 4 preseason games, that it still took us 2 games into the season before we seemed to really even begin to gel as an identity of a team. So I think that's going to definitely cost them, probably other teams too. Just, you know, and like TA said, you know, it could affect, you know, the health and the safety of the players because their level of practice and participation and real-time game, I don't know. You know, how is it going to affect the Steeler players? Same as it's going to affect everybody else. But as fans, are we going to complain about that? No, we just like we like seeing some football. We like seeing some of the rookies trying to make the cut. You know, there is a kind of a competitive element and a you know, pre-draft type of feel to that, like, or pre-roster cut, I should say, as the weeks go by through training camp and into the preseason. So I will certainly miss that portion of it. But other than that, let's play football. And hopefully they treat, you know, just like a team that would get the stomach flu. What do? You know what I mean? Flu, it's an illness. It's COVID, yeah. It's highly contagious, yeah. So is everything else. People die from the flu. People die from a lot of stuff that's contagious. So I don't know.
Jim, are you one of those big, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not a sheep guys?
No, not at all, because I do wear one. But it's like, you know, make a decision. Either move forward with it and suffer the consequences or don't play. It's kind of my thought, I guess. If I never really put it into that kind of perspective before, but since you nailed me down to it, I guess that's it's either A or B for me. So there, I made a statement. Anyhow, I'm sure we welcome your thoughts, Steeler Nation, on the two-season pregames, but I think we probably already spent way too much time talking about that, as who knows what's going to happen in the upcoming weeks anyhow. So, anyhow, anything else on that before we move on, guys?
I mean, I'm sure we'll be harping on it over the course of the next couple weeks.
Yeah, probably. So, what else is in the news? What else went on this week? Saw a video out. James Conner on social media.
James Conner and Juju. I mean, the Steelers are playing Oprah Winfrey.
You know, yeah, there you go.
You get a house. Everybody gets a house. But they both bought their mom's houses over the weekend. I guess James was first, and then followed by Juju, who bought his mom a house today. And, you know, of course, the video was posted to the internet, Instagram, Twitter. And I think T.A., our boy Staggy, John Staggerwalt, who's the Penguins, one of the main guys for the Penguins, right? He had something to say about that, didn't he?
Yeah, he says it's, you know, it's nice that James bought his mother a new house, but does everything have to be turned into a public display? I mean, it's a great moment made no greater by showing up on Instagram or Twitter. But, of course, we're talking about a generation that sends friends pics of a sandwich. I think you pretty much said it all right there. I mean, what more do you want to say about that? I mean, is it nice that these guys went ahead and bought their mother a house? Absolutely. I mean, and by all rights, they should buy their mother a house. And maybe that's all they have to do right now. I mean, you know, they're sitting at home, they're twiddling their thumbs, they're not able to spend any money. Might as well buy a mom a house. Might as well buy dad a truck. Shit, might as well get married. Might as well buy a couple of dogs. I mean, hell, they had Juju with his two little dogs fighting over a tennis ball. Things are really getting bad out there with everybody with COVID fever. There's nothing more to do. I just hope they start maybe spending money my way, you know. I could use a new mic, new set of headphones. Hell, a new Harley Davidson would be nice, Joju. And
sure.
James, if you guys are out there, I mean, you know, spread a little bit of wealth.
Hey, Joju. Wasn't he the guy?
Major League, Cleveland.
Jobu.
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 Jobu. I'll rub your belly, Joe Boo.
That's it. Hey, wasn't he on social media?
Want me to chase a tennis ball? I'll chase a tennis ball too.
Wasn't Joe Boo on social media also lighting off fireworks from a parking garage rooftop or something? Did I see that? Did you guys see that?
All over the place. He was jet skiing on the Mon. That, I mean, forget, he's like 20 years old still. He's been in the league for 5 years now. So I do like Colin Dunlap's response. I thought it was kind of funny to Staggy on Twitter. His response is, I agree, comma, John, period. Let's do a better job of making sure all internet content is just old miserable men bitching about everything. which Staggy then responded, exactly the moronic response I expect from you. It's because of my age that I think it would be nice if people didn't have an attitude like that. If it's not on video, it didn't happen. Sidney Crosby's not on social media, probably because he's old. A little back and forth there with the Pittsburgh media. You got to love to see that.
Well, Dunlap's a kind of a smart ass, so to be expected. Steigerwalt kind of bit on that one, too, so good.
But everybody's getting a house, except us.
That's it. Well, what else is going on in Steeler news? We can take a minute.
We can go through some Steeler one-hitters.
Let's do that. You know what? Before we do that, though, let's take a minute, plug our affiliate, Diamond CBD, one of the top five CBD companies in the world, pretty much, for the most part. But anyhow, tons of products on there. Check it out, SteelersRealm.com. Click on Lawrence Taylor's smiling face at the top of our website. And once you go through your purchases, make sure to enter our special code just for you, Steelers Realm. That's all one word, Steelers Realm. And get 40% off any CBD. There's even some hot sauce. Yum Yum Edibles Hot Sauce. So check it out. Diamond CBD products. Thank you for backing us, guys. So let's go ahead and do that. After our plug there, let's dive into some one-hitters and take it away from there.
Yeah, so Ben added seven new members of the family, I guess, today. His dog had seven dogs. Clearly his dog was not jerking off.
Ben's dog had seven new dogs.
What's that, TA?
Said she's not practicing safe sex either.
That bitch. We also, I could see us kind of fucking going down a weird realm there with the porno and the dogs. And
yeah.
Let's just get back on track.
I'm just waiting for the doggy style reference.
Oh, there it was. There it was. If there's light coming through that crack, Dev, TA will take it.
But hey, the Steelers were also founded this week on July 8th, 1933. Yeah, old Art found the team, which was the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I believe, what was it, 8 years later, they changed to the Steelers. So,
and what a great day that date is, July 8th.
Did you know that day is
that's JT's
Clamper's birthday?
Yeah, it's Jack Lambert's birthday.
Nice shit. See? That's why it's a good day.
Nobody else's birthday that we know, though.
Yeah, could be mine.
Is it somebody? Is it somebody in there?
Nah, it's Jack Lambert's.
Jack Lambert's. Yeah.
Nah, it's JT's birthday, too. Happy early birthday to you, JT.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for reminding us. I mean, I would have texted you on the 8th because I would have got that Facebook notification.
Yes, you would have. Yes, you would have. Yeah, and TA would have got the LinkedIn notification, too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way,
buddy, make sure you send JT a happy birthday card. He likes cakes, cupcakes, and brownies, and we know the kind of brownies we're talking about. Not the one with CBD oil like we've just promoted, but the real McCoy. So please, send them to JT@SteelersRom.com.
Yep, some virtual brownies heading my way. All right, appreciate it, man. All righty, sorry to throw you off there. Anyhow, what else is going on, Steeler one-hitters? Any other topics?
David Njoko
or Njoku requested a trade for the Browns. Saw some people, some Steeler fans on Twitter saying we should put an offer out there.
Really?
I don't really see why.
Yeah, not at this stage. I think we're pretty set, right? When you agree?
Yeah, I don't know how many fucking tight ends you can have on a team.
Yeah, right.
He went out of Cleveland. They drafted, I think, they brought in that Austin Hooper, and they drafted another tight end, too. So, obviously, he wants out.
Well, don't you see kind of a trend going on there?
But if he could learn how to catch the ball, he wouldn't have to worry about them bringing in other tight ends. Maybe he ought to pull up his big boy panties and play some damn football like a number one draft pick should.
Yeah, they reached on him for sure. I mean, but that's the story of the fucking Browns in the draft. But
I don't know if it was necessarily a reach, because there was rumor had it that we were going to take Njoku with that number one pick, but we ended up with that other moron. What's his name? Oh, T.J. Watt. That's right. So I'm thinking we ended up pretty good on that one.
Yeah, I'd say we edged him out on that trade or that.
Because he went 29th.
Yep. Nope. Because that year we were rumored, because that was because we'd lost everybody. We'd lost all of our tight ends. We had nobody. Because remember, the Ladarius Green experiment went south real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jesse James, I think it was either that was his last year or moving into his last year.
Right.
Yep. So, no, I wish David all the best in the world, and too bad this wasn't 1981 and Stickum wasn't still around. He'd be a pretty good player.
Ah, shit.
That's good.
So the last Steeler one-hitter here before we move into some NFL news. So, you know, we're members of the, you know, the different Steeler groups on Facebook, which, you know, there's certainly some cast of characters on these groups. It's pretty funny. One of the larger groups is Yes! Explanation Point, We Are Steelers Nation, which has, I think, 86,000 members. But to my surprise, there's a lot of, not necessarily surprised about the number of female Steeler fans on there, but the Steeler female Steeler fans who post kind of, I don't know how to describe it, inviting pictures of themselves.
That's a good
provocative.
One.
Provocative.
Provocative. TA.
Anytime I can help you out, Dad.
Yeah, so there's this woman on there today who I guess the thread got deleted, but by the name of Trina, who posts on there a lot of revealing photos, who posted a picture of her at the beach and just, you know, a thong pretty much. And, you know, the Steeler fans who are at this point, after reading through some of these comments, are, you know, just starving for football. You know, the Steeler fans were all horned up all winter and spring with no baseball or hockey, and, you know, they're ready for football. But some of these comments are pretty great. You had this guy named Mike Moffey, who his profile picture is his girlfriend and his dog. He comments, his first comment, you know, wow, that's awesome. And then a couple minutes later, he must have got really horned up, and he says, I'd like to see the front of that, too. T-Boy Will, I'm ready to tackle all that. Nick Hudson, that ass. Thanks for sharing. Steve Andres, best tight end on the team.
Oh, boy.
Daniel Wade, who also commented first, wow, Steeler babe, and then a couple minutes later got all horned up too, commented again, coming in dick hard and back strong. And you had Anthony, you know, he said, Cheeksomania. Yeah, Billy Rogers, damn, I'd like to play with that. So I guess the thread got shut down because, Steeler fans were just creaming in their pants in the comments because they're all horned up and they're ready for football.
Throw a woman into the mix.
Well, Trina has a smoking body. And Trina, if you're out there listening, you feel free to send any pics you want into oldsteelersrealm.com. Old TA will be more than happy to take a peek at them.
Over under on the amount of dick pics she has in her inbox right now.
What is the over under? Put the line out there, Dad.
Seven. Seven, according to her jersey number.
Well, I'll take the over on that one.
Yeah, but hey, if anybody's out there listening to them Steeler groups and whatever, like to chat on here about, you know, Trina or any other Steelers news, feel free to reach us via email or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram accounts. We'd be more than happy to have some cast of characters on here to discuss some Steelers Steelers news anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, as a matter of fact, mentioning cast characters and having guests on, we've got another Steelers Facebook group member reached out and is a big Bettis fan. So we're going to have him on our Bettis when we highlight Bettis, Jerome Bettis, on the 27th, I believe, for our Hall of Fame special. So we still have some spots open, Steeler Nation. So let us know if you want to sit in and we welcome your feedback. So any other Steeler one hitters before we move into NFL news outside the realm?
Nah, I think that about covers it. It was a slow week with Steelers news, but
yeah, it was
certainly a lot going on in the NFL.
Yeah, and one of which the what is it? Maybe TA, maybe you could kind of weed through this, but they're wanting the Redskins to change their name. Does this have to do with like who owns the stadium, or what's the scoop there? I just caught a part of it.
JT just doesn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole, TA.
And that's fine, because if you're going to let me go out on a limb, I'm going to let it rock.
No, it's okay talking about it. I just didn't read too much into it.
Enough.
Yeah.
This is out of control now. And I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But at what point do we stop? If the Redskins change their name, then they might as well, because they can't go back to the Boston Braves where they originally started from before they changed it over to the Washington Redskins. So as far as I'm concerned, with everything that's going on in D.C., they might as well just call them the Washington Pansies. And while they're at it, go ahead and take Atlanta off and call them the Atlanta Anal Lickers. Go ahead and get the Florida Seminoles and call them the Florida Seamans. And let's not forget the chefs out there. They're going to be the Kansas City Chefs. We'll call them the Cleveland Cocksuckers. And let's just get rid of it all right here and now. Right? Just get it done with. Because it's getting a little asinine. Because we're talking about 10%. I'll give it 20% because I like to work with the 80-20% rule. Mm-hmm. We got 20% of the people who have their titties in a bunch right now who are causing the biggest problems. Plain and simple. I'm waiting for the other 80% to grow a set of balls and stand up for what shit really needs to happen around here instead of what's going on around here.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. I'm going to be quiet from here on out.
Well, I think that was well put, T.A. Vague, but vague enough to be nondescript, but yet to the point, I guess. Well done, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a point. They should have took a page out of the Edmonton Eskimos book. You know, the Edmonton Eskimos, they've been getting pressure to change their name since this all happened. They conducted a study, which I think maybe they took about 12 hours to find their results, and they're not changing their name. But, you know, so I'm sure there's a telegram on the way up there at Edmonton from the Redskins reservation in Northwest Southern Maryland, Virginia, that it hasn't made it up there yet. But as soon as this podcast, you know, gets released, that we're recording right now, I'm sure, you know, that telegram's going to make its way up there, and the Eskimos will realize that they too, all four of them, can make a difference as well.
That's right.
And Edmonton might have to change that name. So, but, you know, in my opinion, the Redskins, I mean, this was bound to happen. Dan Snyder's been pushing it out for years. And, you know, it is going to suck because, you know, they're probably going to lose billions of dollars. And it's been, you know, 90 years basically in their history. But, you know, it's kind of their fault. They could have picked so many other tribes that might be more receptive to being a team name like the Eskimos. But instead, they had to fucking have them all, you know? where Edmonton, you know, when they're probably trying to name the team name up there in the CFL, they're probably like, ah, shit, should we name it the Sioux? And they're probably like, no, they got casinos and shit like that now. Man, we can't do that. They got money. How about the Iroquois? No, they got the tobacco market locked down in upstate New York coming across the border right now. Oh, fuck, the Eskimos. Yeah, because there's only like three or four of them left. So, I mean, the Redskins.
Eskimos left? Is that what you're saying? There's only three or four Eskimos left?
I'd imagine. I mean, how many of them still left up there?
Global warming has taken all the igloos away. Alaska is plumb out of igloos. Is that what you're telling me?
No more igloos. No more igloos.
But, you know, this is bound to happen. They just had to have them all. All the Native Americans with the Redskins name. But there's a pretty decent list of alternatives. I mean, it's going to cost Danny billions of dollars. He's already got his three main investors, or three of the majority of minority owners who all want out. Is that because they don't want anything to do with it, or is that because they realize this is going to cost us billions of dollars? It's a 90-year-old team. But some of the new names, Red Hawks, you know, Miami of Ohio, they renamed, remember, TA from, the, I think, believe the Indians, the Red Hawks. The Red Tails, which would be a nod to, the I believe, the Tuskegee Airmen during World War II. They were the Red Tails. That was their name. The Red Dogs, which is kind of a, you know, combination of Redskins and the Hogs, which they were known for their offensive line. Or maybe the Red Wolves. Or heck, maybe the Pigskins. Or Warriors.
I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Pansies. Put a little panda bears on their helmet. I think put a little feather headdress on the panda.
What about the Federals, Senators, T.A.?
Why? Because they're all crooks? I mean, we want to talk about injustice. I want to know why white-collar crime isn't being prosecuted right now. I want to know why these damn sons of bitches are walking through D.C. telling us how we need to think and feel out here as Americans when they're robbing us blind and causing all this bullshit. No. Pansies is where it's at. Until they want to talk about injustice, let's start prosecuting some white-collar crime. How is it, and this is completely off the football subject, but PG&E, did you hear about the town that they wiped off the face of America? And nobody's blinking an eye because not one individual went to jail. They eliminated an entire town, killed 84 Americans, and walked away with a paltry $3.5 million. That's it. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to fight over. I got to stop, guys. I got to stop because this is completely wrong and asinine. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, even in my hometown here, IUP was the IUP Indians forever until, what was it, like 2006. They were going to be hosting NCAA playoffs, I believe, and ended up becoming they changed to the bear as its mascot, and now they're known as the Crimson Hawks. So you know it's everywhere, but really, anyhow.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah, me too. Now that you mentioned it.
But there's still Snyder, though, so.
Yeah, there's still so many teams out there still using ethnic nicknamed teams, I guess, if you were to use a, you know, a description for that.
Braves, Indians. Braves.
Yeah, that's the
first. The Indians, their old logo, the Chief Wahoo. Or whatever. It was a pretty racist logo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got the Florida State Seminoles. I'm pretty sure they're allowed to use the Seminole tribe name because there's, like, people from the Seminole tribe, like, actually sit on their board and they want them to.
So it's only good for when it benefits them. Is that what I'm gathering from this conversation?
There's a all I'm saying, there's a big Indian casino down there. It does pretty damn well.
Right. So it's only good if it benefits them. So we're back to the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm. Danny should have hired some more Native American executives.
That's it.
As far as Chief Wahoo goes, let's face it. When Chief Wahoo was dictated, if that's the word I'm looking for.
Depicted.
Depicted. Thank you, Dev. You know, my English is a little rusty. You know, that was back when we were first learning how to do animation and put it on film, and everything was a cartoon character. From Mickey Mouse to Wahoo to you name it, it was all cartoons. That was what it was back in the era. Mm-hmm. We need to start kind of looking at that as well, too, of where we were and where we're at today. I mean, it's kind of like Ghostbusters. When Ghostbusters came out, that was some award-winning stuff that was put on screen in the 1980s as far as special effects. They do a Ghostbusters today. Can you imagine what those effects are going to look like today? Are we going to now go ahead because spiritualists out there, we're going to ban the movie Ghostbusters because the way that it represents the ghost and our dead, that's shameful. Shameful.
Or the occult.
I am heartbroken.
Actually, TA, they did make a Ghostbusters here recently. The effects are pretty good, too.
They did, and they did it with the three ladies, which was a great little twist.
Yeah.
Now, in 2021, we will have Ghostbusters Afterlife because we are rebooting the series again with the grandchildren of them all. My point being is that's where we came from. And if we don't know where we came from, we don't know where we're going. And if we cannot talk as educated human beings and discuss these things in a proper context without a political gain and or motive, then we are all losing a fighting. We're losing the battle. We will lose America, and we will all be socialists taking pictures of our sandwich. Put that on Twitter.
Boom. Did I hear a mic drop there?
I had a pretty sweet sandwich today too. Real nice. I should have took a picture of it.
Yeah, really.
Was it the Wendy's Bacon Junior Double Cheeseburger?
Nah, I was. If I'm guessing, it would have been
Instagram worthy. TA.
No, it would have been a Dev special, man. Would have been a Dev special.
Well, New Jersey Sloppy Joe.
There you go.
It's one of the only good things out from this state. It's not like your typical sloppy Joe where you got the hamburger helper meat. It's like a turkey, Russian dressing, coleslaw, roast beef. It's sometimes ham. It's good stuff. That and Taylor ham, the only good things that come out of this shithole.
There you go. Isley's chip chop ham. A lot of Steeler Nation can appreciate that, too. So, well, hey, there's a great idea. Steeler Nation, send us pictures of your favorite sandwich, man. Do it.
We'll share them with Staggy on Twitter.
That's right. We'll do like an anti-Staggy sandwich campaign on Twitter. And we'll just bombard them with different sandwiches. How about it? I love it. All right, let's get back into other news outside the realm. Patrick Mahomes, could this be record breaker? 10-year extension. Holy cow. What's the numbers on that, Dev?
10-year extension worth $503 million, $477 million in guaranteed money and mechanisms. So he's the first $500 million athlete, in sports in general. So it's pretty record breaking. I'm sure guys like Deshaun Watson and Dak are stoked. But the real winner here is, the Bears, because they dodged a real bullet avoiding having to pay, $500 million by drafting Mitchell Trubisky. So they dodged a bullet. two teams in our division as well. The Browns and Bengals certainly dodged a bullet with having to pay $500 million. So they should be happy, you know.
So what kind of precedence does this set? I mean, in all reality, I mean, is Patrick now that he's going to get $50 million for the next 10 years, are the Chiefs going to be able to even put a product out on the floor? I mean, are they going to be able to play? And with these mechanisms they're talking about, he has the ability to get out if those mechanisms aren't exercised. So what are those mechanisms? You got to put a team around me? Well, how are you going to put a team around me if you ain't got no more money because your quarterback's getting
yeah, up? Right.
Look, it goes to show, too, teams that have won Super Bowls have recently done so with a very low percentage of the, you know, salary cap dedicated to the quarterback. Last year with Mahomes, he was still on his rookie deal. You know, then you had Brady all those years taking the Tommy hometown discounts. Nick Foles, like, it shows that's the trend, you know, where you kind of piece guys around a game manager, really. I mean, I'm calling Tom Brady a game manager, but kind of has been a little bit of a glorified one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's certainly, it's going to be hard for them to build. But, I mean, look, they've returned 20 to 22 starters for their Super Bowl, and they got that Eric Bieniemy guy back as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, they added that Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the draft. I think they're going to be solid next year and potentially the year after. But after that, it's certainly a question mark. I mean, this guy's going to be inked up until 2031 when he's 37 years old. And, you know, when that ink dries on his contract, he's going to make more guaranteed money in that instant than any other NFL player has done over their entire career. So
that's insane. That's almost hard to wrap your arms around. And, you know, like T.A. was saying there, just like, where does that... What kind of precedent does that set? And
so now what does July become now? Worst contracts month? I mean, are we now going to have a Patrick Mahomes day, just like we have a Bobby Bonilla day for the worst contracts ever? Is that what July is going to now become? Because everybody else has got their own month, so contracts should get their own month.
Yeah. There's a lot of writers and whatnot who are really saying, oh, he's worth it, yada, yada, yada. But there are some guys out there raising some questions like, you know, this contract is comparable to, I guess, how some of the contracts were in the mid to late 2000s and why they had to change the CBA and, you know, how it's could potentially, you know, ruin the Chiefs franchise for years to come after these next couple of years if they're not careful. So, but I mean, you haven't seen contracts that were this long in terms of like 10-year contracts since I believe McNabb with the Eagles back in 2002. That was a 12-year one, which that worked out well. And then people forget, but Drew Bledsoe signed a 10-year deal in 2001 right before the season started.
And that didn't work out so well.
No. And Tom Brady came in and they won the Super Bowl, which I think is still a conspiracy with September 11th, but we already went into that.
I mean, it did work out all right for Drew. I mean, because he's sitting in sunny California right now on his, I don't know, 400, 500, 600-acre vineyard, just sitting back, drinking wine, laughing.
Yeah, he does own a winery. I thought it was in Washington State, though.
It could be in Washington. You know, when you get out there with all of those, you know, granola tree huggers, they all run into it on another.
Yeah, it's in Washington State. Granola hippies. I use that granola term hippies a lot. Fucking granola hippies. But yeah, I mean, this contract, it isn't going to be good for the Steelers because the quarterback market now is officially fucked, and let's hope we don't have to overpay for one.
Yeah, really.
My question is, you know, the CBA, we put in there four with a 5-year extension for a reason. the Chiefs just went ahead and blew that out by doing this in, what, year three of his contract? I mean, yeah, you basically just upset the apple cart.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, he's going to get, in 2027 alone, a $10 million base salary, and then a $49.4 million roster bonus, an additional $550,000 in bonuses, too. I mean, that's 59, that's 60 million in 1 year in 2027 when he's 31 years old, I guess, in his prime.
So what's the Chiefs guarantee? In 2027, let's say he starts the season on the injured reserve list. What's the Chiefs guarantee?
I think he just got to be on the fucking roster, because it looks like that he's gonna receive $477 million guaranteed from this contract, and he's gonna get $63 million guaranteed at signing, and he'll have $103 million guaranteed coming next March. I mean, it's insane.
So no Super Bowl within the next 4 years, he gets cut and he loses it all.
The way this deal's set up, he's going to be getting a lot of that money, regardless. That's why you don't sign or put players on contracts like this. Like, it's a Bobby Bonilla-ass contract.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. The month of July is now dumbass contracts month. Get down to your local drugstore, pick up your Hallmark card, and send it out to your favorite lucky ass.
That's right. Contracts. Well, guys, you know what? Checking it out here. It's time to jump into the weekly Hall of Fame feature. This week we're bringing you four notables that household names. So where do we want to start? Who wants to start first? Let me just tee them up here. We've got Jack Hamm, Mel Blunt, Terry Bradshaw, and Franco Harris. So
we'll go ahead, JT.
Let's do it.
With one.
All right.
Start with that ham sandwich.
Let's start with a ham sandwich.
Get to post a picture of it on Twitter.
That's right. From Johnstown, PA, where he attended Bishop McCord High School, and also played your alma mater, Dev, up at PSU, Penn State.
Yeah, he calls the football games now.
Does he really? Radio?
Yeah.
Is it radio?
Yeah, he's been the radio guy for, I think, at least the past 20 years.
Yeah, he began in 1982.
Yeah.
Because he retired from football.
Nice. Well, in his 3 years starting in linebacker, at Penn State, he was selected by the Steelers second round, which was 34th overall in 1971. Coach Knoll thought he was the fastest Steeler for the first 10 yards, including wide receivers and running backs, and was also a ferocious hitter, known as a player who couldn't be fooled, and was seldom out of position. So, reliable guy, former NFL backer, said of champ Maxie Bond. Anyhow, said he was one of the most intelligent players to ever play that position. Career stats, 25 sacks, 21 fumbles recovered, 32 interceptions. And also became an advocate for medical marijuana. After he studied the benefits of relieving the symptoms related to playing football, and was pushing for the NFL to kind of soften their stance on the use of marijuana in general, and which they kind of have, haven't they? I mean, even this year.
Let's face it. I mean, it's no longer on the banned substance. I mean, they haven't went right out and said that it's legal, but they're not going to nick you for it now. And, you know, he's seen what it's done to Nick Buniconi, ex-Miami football player, who they were very good friends. And, of course, what happened to Mike Webster? He wonders what would have happened if those guys would have been able to seek help for medical marijuana. And he's also wondering, just with the ongoing opioid epidemic, how that would affect society as a whole if there was something else that the public could utilize. So, yeah, who knew old Jack was in favor of it? He's a fan favorite.
Oh, something else I didn't mention, too. All pro, selected 7 times, and made 8 Pro Bowl appearances. Enshrined the class of 1988 after playing, played 12 seasons for the Steelers. So, Jack Ham, linebacker, Pittsburgh Steelers, inducted into the Hall of Fame in class of 1988.
He does a great job on the Penn State Radio Network, too. He's got the monotone voice. He does a great job and brings his football knowledge to the call, just about every call. So, big Jack Ham fan.
Back home, this old alma mater as well. Next, Mel Blunt, guy who changed the way football is played at one point in his career. I won't take away any more from whoever wants to cover that.
T.A., you're the historian.
Oh, Mel Blunt. Well, Mel Blunt was one of those rare finds that the Steelers had way back in the day when they decided to go to smaller colleges. Mel was born in Toombs County, Georgia. So he's just a southern boy down there on the farm. Ended up getting a scholarship because he was a 3-star player at the Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was a 3rd-round draft choice for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1970. And, of course, he was one of the reasons that Steel Curtain was what it was. He had the size, speed, quickness for the position, plus the toughness and the mental ability to adjust coverage tactics and excel despite rule changes that favored receivers, which was become of him. Now, did you notice that? I said become of him. I just want to make sure I got my wording correctly, because Mel was one badass son of a bitch, and he went the entire NFL season, and I believe 1972, and did not allow one single touchdown because he just knocked the shit out of all the pass receivers, which basically made the NFL say, whoa, wait a minute, man. If we can't score touchdowns, we can't put fans in the seats. So they came up with the Mel Blunt rule that we know today with the 5 yards. You can't hit them after that, so forth. But he did actually adapt his game to it and was still one of the best out of 14 NFL seasons, including 11 interceptions in 1975. It was due to him that in the Steelers' victory over the Dallas Cowboys, his interception was the one that ignited the drive for the go-ahead touchdown. And if it wouldn't have been for him in 1979 AFC Championship game, the Houston Oilers may have gotten a chance to get their first Super Bowl, but instead that led the way for us to go take our 4th against the Los Angeles Rams. With that being said, Mel has stayed true to Pittsburgh ever since. I mean, he has a boys home that he has not only, he has a youth home here in Pittsburgh, and he also has one in Toombs County, Georgia. And on top of that, he is a, we'll leave that alone. We'll save that for another day, guys.
Okay.
Dev, I'll let you take it from here.
My only question about Mel would be, do you think he sleeps with his cowboy hat on? I mean, it's basically attached to his body at this point.
He wears it everywhere.
That, his boots for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a bruiser. 6 foot four cornerback. That's insane. Safety, six, cornerback.
6 foot three. Come on, Dev. Don't give him another inch.
Ah, 6'3". Mm-hmm. Still fucking bruiser, man.
No doubt.
Yeah, you figure he was a safety and a or he was a cornerback in a safety's body.
And speaking of players out of Louisiana, well, we got old Terry Bradshaw coming up here next. I wonder what his SAT scores were. that would be my only thought there.
He did spell cat right during it, though.
Well, that's like, what was it, Shaq? He got like a 600 on his SAT, and you get 400 for writing your fucking name correctly. But good old Terry. I mean, I would do up Terry here, but I'm not going to do him justice. I think, you guys who've seen him play in his heyday could do a lot more justice than I could. I know JT mentioned earlier he does have a show coming on TV, but why don't you guys take it away? Because clearly I fuck up this Hall of Fame feature every week, so.
Well, you're right. You're right, Dev. Terry was out of Louisiana, and by now most people, if they have been watching Duck Dynasty, knows that Terry's path to the NFL was given way by the founder of Duck Commander, which was Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson was actually the quarterback at Louisiana Tech. Terry was second on there. Phil showed up one day and said, you know what? I don't know why I'm playing football. I would rather go duck hunt. And he took off to go duck hunt. And he, of course, had a pretty good career as well. In the meantime, Terry went on and never looked back. He took Louisiana Tech to places that they had never, ever thought about going. And by the time he left Louisiana Tech, he held every passing records at the time. Well, then came along the 1970 NFL draft, and the Pittsburgh Steelers fell in love with him. And they went ahead and took him at the first pick of the draft after winning a coin flip with the Chicago Bears. Because, of course, as we already know, 1969 was a horrible, horrible year for the Steelers. And 1970 was the change with Mr. Chuck Knoll. Problem was, is Terry and Chuck, man, they were like water and oil. They just yes, did not mix at all. And Terry had some ups and downs. I mean, granted, he was known for throwing the immaculate reception, but I'm not so sure it was Terry's throw or Franco's catch. But nonetheless, he was there. And then even in 1974, he lost his job to Joe Gillum. And we made reference to Joe here on the show here not too long ago that Joe had a lot to do with that first Super Bowl run.
Yes, he did.
But Terry ended up winning the job back and took us to the AFC Championship game against the Oakland Raiders and ended up pulling out that victory to take us to the very first Super Bowl win against the Minnesota Vikings. From there, Terry went on to win three more Super Bowls for us and became quite the icon. He became more the icon because of his country flair, his lackadaisicalness. Even today, most people still do not give him credit for his arm, for his leadership, for him understanding the game of football. They always still look at him as a dumb country bumpkin. But in all reality, Terry's kind of got the last laugh. Unfortunately, in 1983, he was coming off of elbow season injury or undergoing an off-season elbow injury. Chuck at the time wanted to rebuild his defense. We had a young quarterback by the name of Dan Marino coming up out of Pitt. the Rooney family, I should say more Dan, decided that he did not want to have Marino face a lot of pressure in his hometown. And they passed on him, got Gabriel Rivera, which we know only played six games before becoming a quadriplegic. And from there on out, Art Rooney never, ever let his sons forget that they did not draft Marino. That was probably the only black mark as far as Steeler fans go with Terry. But again, Terry after football, I mean, he was a presenter for Mike Webster. He went on the Tonight Show. During his Super Bowl runs, him and Burt Reynolds were huge friends. He starred in Cannonball Movie. He starred in Smokey and the Bandit 2. Started his broadcasting career with Fox and with CBS, and then moved to Fox, which he's still there today. And as we all know, when it comes to watching Bradshaw, there's nobody beats Bradshaw because of the humor he brings and the just his flair for football itself. He's got two beautiful daughters. As we've already alluded, they're getting ready to have a little reality show. I'm sure it's gonna be a good one, knowing Terry. And if anybody did not see the ESPN, what do they call that? Inside the Life or Player? I forget what they call that. Dev, help me out there. What do they call that?
30 for 30?
No, I don't think it was 30 for 30.
Inside the Life?
I think it was Inside the Life. They had one on Terry Bradshaw, and what a lot of people didn't know is that even though he looked very confident on the field, he was a basket case his entire life to anxiety, depression, fought all that. And what we see from him from a media perspective, you'd have probably never, ever guessed that he suffers from clinical depression. Matter of fact, he even did a short play, The Blonde Bomber, I think it was, I can't think of it. I went and seen it over there in Pittsburgh at the casino. It was a great skit on his life. Did a great job. Of course, he's always thought he was a singer. He's even been on the Grand Ole Opry. So when you look at an NFL player who gets absolutely no recognition for what he did on the field, he sure has stuck around in mainstream his entire career and has never, ever left the media light. So my hat's off to that dumb country boy who couldn't spell cat when spotted two letters. Kudos to you, Terry.
In the show you were talking about, it's on the NFL Network, A Football Life. I've seen the
Terry. Football Life, there you go.
It's a good one, yeah.
All right, so that leaves the man, the myth, the army, Franco Harris.
Should we just rename this week's the Penn State feature?
Yeah.
Well, Penn State, Louisiana.
Penn State, Louisiana. Yeah. Yep. Good package there.
Yeah, Franco... I have a cool story about Franco, actually. So one of my family members married into the Del Grosso pizza sauce family, which they make great pizza, or I'm sorry, spaghetti sauce, pizza sauce.
Yeah, man.
Great stuff. They actually sponsored Del Grosso's Red Zone up at Penn State. And he was actually a spokesman for them, I guess in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe into the 2000s. And he was at my cousin's wedding when we were like 2 years old, and me and my brother got a picture with Franco. And flash forward to 2014, I'm sitting in Pittsburgh International Airport, ready to hop on a flight up to New York to go watch Penn State play in the Pinstripe Bowl, which we beat Boston College. It was a great game, Yankee Stadium. And I hear somebody talking behind me. It's, you know, monotone voice, and like, it sounds like Franco. I turn around. I'm literally back to back with him. So I was like kind of nervous at first, like, I shouldn't bother him. But then I finally, you know, I got my mom to send me that picture, and I was like, hey, Franco, you remember me? And I showed it to him, and he grabbed the phone out of my hand and was like, oh, wow, this was at, you know, so-and-so's wedding, my family members. And he's like, this is so cool. This is awesome. And we started shooting the shit for probably a good, you know, 30 minutes, an hour, waiting for our flight, talking the entire time about Penn State football, his love for Joe Paterno and his support for him, because Franco was going to the game too. And at the end, he was like, you know, could you send me this picture? And I was like, yeah, man, what's your number? He's like, no, I'll give you my wife's, our business phone to send it to. And I was like, motherfucker, almost had Frank almost over there for a second. He's a great guy, though.
He took a lot of shit during the Sandusky thing, didn't he?
Yeah, he stood by Joe
Paterno. Yeah, he did.
He loved Joe Paterno.
He did. Took a lot of shit for that too. Yeah. By the way, Steeler fans who haven't been through the airport, get your picture taken with Franco, and their depiction statue of him with the Immaculate Reception. I know I have one. Anybody's Steeler fan probably does. Dev, do you have a picture of beside Franco from the airport?
Dude, anybody that fucking walks through that airport, you got to get a picture besides Franco. Yeah. It's like him right next to what, George Washington?
Yeah, but that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually, I saw, I think he posted a picture of it online. They put a mask on him, the Franco statue.
Oh, they did?
Wait, what do you think of that, T.A.?
Well, I don't want him getting sick. And, you know, Franco's not getting any younger, so it's probably a good thing.
What were some of you guys' greatest memories of Franco during his playing days? Because I was still in my daddy's nutsack.
Well, let me take a snapshot from history and fast forward. One player who reminded me a lot of the way Franco ran was our boy Le'Veon Bell, man. Had kind of the same build. Wouldn't you agree, T.A.? Kind of the same build, a big, tall, strong back who didn't look as fast as he really was. But Franco he was so smooth, he didn't even look like he was running hard. But he would just, you know, a combination of athleticism, size, and just agility made him so good at a time where they had such a great team to have him in the backfield along with Rocky. Oh my gosh, it was fun to watch, even in the early years when I didn't even appreciate the Steelers the way I do now. But I was watching it unfold right before my eyes as I became a fan, right in that era. So that was certainly fun to watch him. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell reminded me a lot of he. Also, who was the running back for the Oilers?
Walker?
Earl Campbell?
No, not Earl Campbell.
Eddie George.
Absolutely. You put those three side by side, they all seem to have that same type of style. So, but that was my memories of watching.
What was the difference between all those three, JT?
Difference between
only two of them were what?
Big Ten backs.
No, but that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I do like that. Two of them were only halfbacks. The other one was listed as a fullback.
A fullback, yeah.
Because a lot of people don't realize that Franco was listed as a fullback for most of his career.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Because Rocky was the halfback.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that he may have set the all-time rushing record before his retirement, and he fell 192 yards shy of Mr. Jim Brown. But for his last year, he did leave the Steelers and played for the Seattle Sea Snots.
And, that's right.
Did not finish out the entire season. He was pretty banged up by that time and called it quits, which was probably a good thing.
And of course,
it's crazy though. You're that close and you quit in the middle of the year, but he's probably very banged up.
Yeah. Remember that. He was on his last leg then. No, that was tough. But that's that 72 playoff game against the Raiders, he's most known for, obviously, the immaculate reception. That was, you know, that was what started me as a Steeler fan back in that winter day in 1972. And I was actually listening to it in the car with my dad, seeing him get so fired up and so emotional over what was going on as I listened on. And Franco made that reception, and we went on. That was when I became a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So thank you, Franco, for that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I'll say about Franco is, for one, let's face it, I don't think there's ever been an army after anybody else. And, you know, the Italian-American army, or Franco's army at the time, was probably a little play on words from the KISS army back in the day. But nonetheless, Franco had the Italian army to where people actually wore military gear for Franco. I don't think you've ever seen that in any other NFL team or for a player throughout history like the following that Franco did. And the one thing through it all, compared to today's athlete who loves to take a picture of a sandwich and put it on Instagram, he was always humble. He never said, look at me, look at me. He never thought he was larger than the team. He was always the same person on the field as he was off. And even after football, he has led a fantastic, upstanding life. And my hat's off to him. I hope more young players out there can look back on the 70s and the 80s, how these players played the game, the path, the sacrifice that they took so you could take a picture of your sandwich, and maybe pay just a little bit more homage. Kind of comes down to something that Cam Newton said this week on the news. I'm tired of being humble. I'm ready for the lion to roar. Well, listen here, cocksucker. If you wouldn't have been nursing your pussy for the last 2 years, maybe that lion would have roared. So instead of just yapping your gums and snapping pictures of sandwich, maybe just shut your trap, play the game of football, and see if you too can't win a Super Bowl with Bill.
You listen here and you listen good, motherfucker. Yeah, you're incorrect, though. There was another Italian player they tried to start an Italian army for. I only saw this because I saw...
They did?
Yeah, pictures on the internet. Anthony Ciccolo, his family tried to start Ciccolo's Italian army, but it clearly did not get off the fucking ground, just like his NFL career.
All right. I didn't say try to start. I said succeeded. There's been no other. I'm sure there's been plenty who's attempted it, but no one succeeded. And let's face it, the only Ciccolo army that he's getting is one singing Old MacDonald Had a Farm, E-I-E-I-O, with a chick-chick here and a chick-chick there.
Well, you know, he kind of started the ball rolling with nicknames, really. Can you think of any other earlier nicknames? You had Girella's Gorillas.
I just remember that old Steelers polka song.
Yep.
Had a bunch of
Italian Army,
there.
Girellas, Gorillas.
Killer Bees.
Killer Bees, that was Pirates. Originally.
It was also Killer Bees for the Steelers. It was Roethlisberger, Ben, Brown, and Bell.
And Boswell.
But those actual Killer Bees, the original, were from Miami. So that was kind of a spinoff.
Yeah.
But they didn't have no army following them. They didn't have people dressed up like little bumblebees buzzing through the stadiums. Well, unless it was a throwback game, then everybody looked like a bumblebee, but that didn't count.
Yeah, Franco had a damn near whole militia showing up to the games.
Yeah, he did. He did. So
looking like a rally on the steps of a state capitol building about masks. Sure, JT let it that one out.
Those were the days where you didn't have to worry about social distancing.
No, you know it's weird seeing shows and advertisements and videos of anything where people were like hugging each other. I mean, it's just like weird to see that anymore, which is really crazy. But here's some other nicknames. The Bus, obviously. It was Bradshaw, it was the Blood and Bomber, right? But Fast Willie Parker. Big Snack.
Yeah, but those are all nicknames. That's not a following.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have their own freaking army.
Yeah, fucking army, man.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, because we're good at nicknaming our players. There is no doubt about it. Steelers fan can nickname some folks.
Hines Psycho Ward.
You had Paul Malu, Tasmanian Devils.
Of course, the defense in general, Blitzberg, Steel Curtain, right?
Yeah, I think Yinzers in general, the nicknames for just about anything.
Iron Mike. There's Terry, the Blonde Bomber. How about this one? Slash. Never Slash.
Well, I think that about wraps up our Hall of Fame feature for the week. Like we had said, we're still going to bring you these Hall of Fame features leading up to the canceled Hall of Fame game on August 3rd. And we're going to have our own enshrinement, I think, with Donnie, Bill, and Troy. We're going to enshrine them early. Here you're going to hear it first on the Steelers Realm podcast. But next week, we're going to have Jack Lambert, Chuck Knoll, and Mike Webster. And continue to check out our guy on Twitter and YouTube, Steel City Star, is going to be bringing you some just, crazy, crazy cool content and old footage that, you know, he's a collector. So there's not many people out there that have the type of footage this guy has and has the ability to put this stuff together. So looking forward to see what he whips up. I do know he kind of teased a little Jack Lambert video potentially. So,
ooh, nice.
Nobody's ever seen before.
Nice. Hey, I want to see that play where Mel Blunt takes one of the receivers and just throws him to the ground. I can't remember what game that was from, but that's awesome. Hey, while we're throwing plugs out there, I want to throw another plug in for our affiliate, Diamond CBD. Check out some of their new products. How about this? For the summertime, it's original hot sauce, CDB, Yum Yum Edibles CBD hot sauce, original full spectrum CBD in a hot sauce. Nice. Plus, there's also gummies too, olive oil, sweet and smoky barbecue sauce flavored gummies. My gosh, man, check them out. Go to SteelersRealm.com right at the top. Click on Lawrence Taylor's little ad there and follow the link there, or just head out to diamondcbd.com and your purchase, enter Steelers Realm. for 40% off. So Steeler Nation, thanks for tuning in. Any other plugs? Oh, one other thing coming up. Dave Hansen has agreed to come on back on the Realm. So we look forward to that. Also, there's a signing coming up later. We'll give you more information on his signing. For those of you who have some Slapshot paraphernalia or whatever that you want to get signed, you can check him out south of Greensburg in Youngwood coming up in July here. We'll give you the dates on our sites and post those out as well, too. T.A., have any other plugs that you want to throw out there, man?
Yeah, I would just like to plug any of you beautiful Steeler women out there. We are planning something special, but we're not quite sure how we're going to put it out there yet, and we want to see how many listeners we got. So please send us your sexiest Steeler garb. And there'll be more to come to that depending on the outcome of our responses.
So you want to want them to send you their underwear or what?
Yeah. So what happens if we can't get this project going? Are you just going to keep them in your spank bank?
No, it's not going to be on those spank bank. Hell, it's free porn. I don't need some random chick sending me pictures. But I'm going to tell you, Trina, check her out on Facebook. She did look kind of hot. She does got a smoking ass. But no, that's not what it is. I want to see what kind of, you know, there might be something we can do with this, guys. I mean, there are some hot Steeler fans. Look, I'm telling you, you're sitting there on a Sunday. You're watching TV. You know, they pan through the stadium. There ain't more hotter women than at a Steelers game than any other NFL stadium out there. I want to see them because they are out there in full force.
I got a point there.
Send us your pick.
That might be the hottest take of this podcast. The hottest women are at Steeler games in Pittsburgh down North Shore on a Sunday.
Oh, that's it?
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
Drinking in Iron City with a lip in.
Oh, get you just rock hard.
Well, there you go, Steeler Nation. We always save the best for last. Anyhow, thanks for tuning in, everyone. It's great to be with you another week as we work our way towards some Steeler football 2020 styles. Only Steelers Realm can bring it. Careful in the hot tub, everyone. We'll catch you next time. We're out of here. See you.
Adios, amigos, Steelers Nation. Hang tight.
Catch you later.
Boys, good to hang with you tonight, man. As always.
Check back next week into the Steelers Realm podcast.